Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTM Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Racklin, but it is Thursday, October 19th. Got some wide receiver cornerback matchups coming at you on the show today. We'll talk to you all you DFS heads out there, get you set up for this week's action. But I do have some injury stuff that I wanted to get to at the top of the show. A few moving pieces here to get you updated in advance of tomorrow's show, where obviously we'll give you a much bigger breakdown. But a few key places. First and foremost, let's talk about the Rams' backfield. Kyren Williams is being called week to week. We did see yesterday Jeremy Fowler said he is expected to miss multiple games, but is expected to be back at the latest after the Week 10 bye. So in other words, he's probably going to be back in Week 11. And we did hear from Jordan Rodrigue that Kyren Williams is using a scooter and his ankle is in what appears to be a cast. She called it cast-like material. So a cast, I'm guessing. What do we do? Well, if you picked up Zach Evans, he is the de facto number one right now because Ronnie Rivers is on injured reserve. So Ronnie Rivers won't be back until week 12 at the earliest. So that leaves us with Zach Evans, Royce Freeman, and Miles Gaskin on his 12th team of the season. So Evans is the lead guy. If you picked him up, he will be very likely an RB2 play for me. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. But if you have Kyren Williams, it goes back to the thing I talked about. Was it last week? I think it was last week. It all blends together. If you have an injured reserve spot, move into injured reserve. If you have James Conner on injured reserve right now and Kyren Williams and you only have the one spot, I would move Kyren Williams to the injured reserve spot and then figure out what to do with James Conner from there. If I have six bench spots, I can use one of them on an injured player. If I have five, I really do not want to use any of my bench spots on an injured player. If I have four, I will not use any of my bench spots on an injured player. So you need six or more. If I have eight, I'll use two. I mean, honestly, I really want at least five movable pieces there on my bench. And an injured player is not a movable piece. So if I'm in one of those predicaments, I have a four bench spot league, I have Kyren Williams, I don't have an injured reserve spot, I would try and trade Kyren Williams. You will have people. You're going to have to, slightly sell on the cheap, unfortunately. But our objective right now, if this dude is not coming back until week 11, and say, especially if you're in a 2-4 position, even a 3-3 position, you're talking four more weeks. You're talking you could be 2-8. And if you're 2-8, it's almost done. You're not mathematically eliminated, but boy, is it an uphill battle by the time he comes back. If you're 3-7, I mean, obviously a slightly better position, but boy, that's still a big uphill battle over those final 4 weeks of the fantasy regular season. And even then, there's no guarantee you get in. So I'm making that move now because I'm trying to win games to position myself for the postseason. Damn the torpedoes, ultimately. Keep that in mind if you have Kyren Williams. Kyler Murray, designated to return from injured reserve. Highly unlikely he plays this week. He may be back next week. Worst case scenario, he's back the following week. It's not a bad spot for him. He's got decent weapons there. Obviously now, especially with the rookie playing well, Michael Wilson playing well, and then obviously Marquise Brown, Rondale Moore. You have two tight ends you can throw the football to. The thing with Kyler is the fantasy ceiling that we're often used to is not going to be in play because he's not going to have that mobility right away. Now, I think the mobility ultimately comes back for him. It's going to be a key part of his game. But, him running around there like the Tasmanian devil, I don't think we're going to see as much of that. So it does put a little bit of a cap on what he can do going forward. So if I'm in a super flex league, which I was yesterday, as soon as I saw the news, I went and picked him up because I needed some help and I'm willing to wait on him. I have a deeper bench. I can wait on him for the next week or two. That's fine. If I'm in a one quarterback league, I don't know how big of a priority it is unless I'm one of those where I'm like, should I use Tyson Bagent this week? If you're in one of those situations, then yeah, pick him up. But if you have decent enough quarterbacks, I don't know if it's necessarily a huge priority in a one quarterback league because I would expect he'll be in the top 15 category, but he may not be, he's not going to be in the top 5 category, may not be in the top 10 category most weeks. So update there. Let's see. The other main update that I have for you, too, is the Detroit backfield. So, in Detroit, we have, obviously, David Montgomery's not practicing. He's not expected to play. Craig Reynolds popped up with a hamstring and also a toe issue, did not practice yesterday. I don't know if he's going to play. So if you picked him up, that one's really up in the air. Jahmyr Gibbs practiced limited yesterday. Ian Rappaport saying this morning said, sounds like he is trending towards playing. So no Craig Reynolds, possibly. No David Montgomery for sure. Jahmyr Gibbs would be set up for a very big workload. Now, it's not a great matchup on the road in Baltimore, but I'll take 20 touches on Jahmyr Gibbs. If you've been sitting on him, this is what you've been waiting for right there. So we're trending in the right direction there. It sucks if you have David Montgomery. Guess what? This year sucks for injuries. It's just part of this darn game, but there's that. Those are the main takeaways from the injury report today. We will talk more about these games in detail tomorrow, though. All right, let's get to the matchup upgrades at wide receiver. Remember, these are for DFS people. This is not for season long. Don't overthink things for season long. You are not playing against thousands of lineups. You are not dealing with salaries. You are not dealing with ownership. None of those things. You're trying to beat one opponent, or if you're in a points-only league, you're beating 11 opponents, 9 other opponents, whatever. A.J. Brown. Obviously, we were using him in season long, but big-time upgrade here. So the Dolphins did open up Jalen Ramsey's 21-day window to return from injured reserve. However, I'm not sure he comes back this week. Like, we saw them do the same thing with Jeff Wilson last week, and he didn't come back. And Ramsey did start limited in practice, so I think they're going to ramp him up. So that means we're still likely going to see Eli Apple and Xavien Howard out there for the Dolphins, and giddy up, A.J. Brown. 125-plus in each of his last four. He is a slate breaker. If we're going to spend 7,900 on a wide receiver on DraftKings, he better break the slate, right? If you're going to spend up, well, he's one of those guys who can. Christian Watson. Okay. This one is challenging because I know there's some thinking out there that we could see Pat Surtain traveling, shadowing Christian Watson. My thought is that more than likely, the Broncos don't use shadow coverage this week. But if they do, I would say that the favorite to draw Surtain is not Watson, but rather is Romeo Doubs. And why I'm saying that is this. The Packers offense is similar to the Jets offense. You know, there's that common thread. You have Nathaniel Hackett, who was previously there. You have the Shanahan, McVay sort of threads to the offenses and what have you. And we did just see Denver versus the Jets 2 weeks ago. In that game, Surtain shadowed Garrett Wilson. He did not shadow Alan Lazard. And when you look at the roles played in the offense, who plays the role closer to Garrett Wilson? Romeo Doubs. Who plays the role closer to Alan Lazard? Christian Watson. Clear as day. So, Romeo Doubs, for me, would be the favorite to see Pat Surtain. This is not a guarantee. This is me reading the tea leaves. This is me doing analysis. Hashtag. But that's how I'm viewing this, which would mean Christian Watson would see a lot of Damari Mathis, which, give me some of that. Mathis has been one of the worst corners in the league this season, allowed 4 receiving touchdowns, 13.4 yards per catch. And I'll tell you this, I'm not going to be overexposed to Christian Watson. I'm not going to have him like 80% of rosters, but I'm going to have some builds with Christian Watson. You know, a little love stack with Christian Watson. Nothing wrong with that. Terry McLaurin versus the Giants. So he's seen shadow coverage, tough matchups in 2 of the last 4 weeks, Philly and Atlanta, went 80-plus receiving yards in both of those games. This week, not a tough matchup, would see Adoree Jackson very likely in shadow coverage. That is extremely favorable. He's allowing 14.4 yards per catch, receivers catching 75% of balls thrown into his coverage. Add those two together, and boy, oh boy, that's a great matchup for Terry McLaurin. Marco Wilson is leading the NFL in receiving yards allowed, 466, and receptions allowed, 35. He's going to face a lot of DK Metcalf. In fact, DK Metcalf has lined up on the left 64% of the time this season. I mean, so that means like basically shadow covers, even though it's not shadow, he's just not going to move off the left. So really great news for DK. He is banged up with the ribs. He's going to almost certainly play through it. He has been playing through it. I really like this spot for DK. Do a little Geno stack, maybe a Geno double stack with Lockett in there. Of course, the one drawback to that stack would be if the game script gets out of hand like we saw with the Rams last week and they just don't have to throw it that much. Like, I loved Stafford going into that, but they didn't have to throw it. They didn't have to throw it because they just blew him out. So we need Arizona to actually stay in this game for that stack to work. Caleb Evans, Mekhi Blackmon, Byron Murphy. That's the Vikings trio of corners. They've allowed 6 touchdowns this season. None of them are below a 72% catch rate allowed. Deebo Samuel is banged up. Brandon Ayuk, fantastic spot for him. Let's move over to the Bears. Tyson Bagent expected to start in that game, which it may cause some to shy away from DJ Moore. I am not one of those people. Yes, Tyson Bagent undrafted, Tyson Bagent Division II. I mean, he was prolific at the Division II level, though, like really prolific. He had a 5,000-yard passing season. Whatever about the stats, I don't really care about that part. The thing I'm getting at is I don't think he's going to be afraid to throw the football. And when you look at the matchup on the other side, especially for DJ Moore, Ja'Quarian Bennett's allowing 14.9 yards per catch, 76% catch rate. A week where DJ Moore could go slightly under-owned, I mean, that's perfect. So I love this spot for DJ Moore, surprisingly enough. Rashi Rice. Okay, so Jasir Taylor is holding opposing wideouts to a 58% catch rate, which sounds good, but as a slot corner, he's giving up 13.6 yards per catch. That's massive. I love Rashi Rice in this matchup. He's run 64% of his routes out of the slot, and his work has been increasing here in recent weeks, and I don't care about Mecole Hardman being in the mix. Rashi Rice is very intriguing. All right, let's go to the downgrades. Michael Pittman, and this isn't a quarterback thing. I think, honestly, if anything, his value is stable, if not slightly better with Gardner Minshew, just because Minshew's going to throw more than Anthony Richardson. But the matchup is terrible, like downright terrible. The Cleveland defense has been excellent. Their secondary has been a huge part of it. Pittman figures to see a lot of Martin Emerson. On the season, Martin Emerson has allowed 6 catches for 20 yards. That's it. Yikes. Calvin Ridley, if you're listening to this in advance of Thursday Night Football, Ridley figures to see a lot of Marshawn Lattimore. Lattimore in shadow coverage, very likely here. He's allowing a 54% catch rate this season for pass breakups and an interception. So tough matchup for Ridley. Tough matchup for Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. So I would say of the two, Jair Alexander more likely to be on Courtland Sutton. Alexander's seeing just 3 targets per game in the 3 games he's played. That means, like, you know, Russ is just going to look the other way. As far as Jeudy, he's going to see probably more of Rasul Douglas, who has been very good this season. 10.8 yards per catch. 5 pass breakups and an interception. Not a great week to use the Denver duo. Mike Evans should see a lot of A.J. Terrell this week. He has been quietly very good. He's allowed a 58% catch rate despite being tasked often with shadowing opposing number ones. So not a great week for Mike Evans. How about Devon Witherspoon? This kid is so good for the Seahawks. He has notched 5 pass breakups and an interception you might have seen. It was a pretty epic one. It was like a, 99, 98-yard return for a touchdown. But covering the slot, so we're looking at primarily, oh, and by the way, 52% catch rate, 9.1 yards per catch. Primarily Rondale Moore, but even Marquise Brown, 19% of his routes out of the slot. It's just not a great week to get in on the Cards receivers. And then finally, Drake London. He was in the Millie Maker lineup last week. I don't think Lightning's going to strike twice. He should draw Carlton Davis in shadow coverage. He has allowed 5 catches on 10 targets for 42 yards over his last 2 games. Not a great spot for Drake London. Now, Drake London is trending up. Season-long wise, like the direction we're going in, 203 receiving yards over his last 2 games, but not a good week to use him in DFS. So there you go. If you want more of this, you want the shadow coverage index, we got that all over at ftnfantasy.com. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Of course, follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe and on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe. I'll be back tomorrow. I'm going to break down the remaining games on the slate for the big Friday show. Until then, I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.